As I said, we celebrate this great solemnity, the Ascension of the Lord. And now we're in the midst of this great novena for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And we heard St. Paul's letter, that second reading, St. Paul to the Ephesians, as he's praying that the Spirit of wisdom and revelation be given to us. And so this mind of God, the framework, the disposition, the orientation of our lives is really what this feast, this solemnity is all about. You know, we oftentimes focus on the Paschal mystery, centering on those Easter celebrations from Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter Sunday. As important and necessary as those moments are, those events are, it is brought to completion today. And so traditionally this feast would have been celebrated on Thursday, but some years back our bishops transferred it to this Sunday. So it's Ascension Thursday, Sunday. Because it's such an integral part of our faith. We profess it in the creed every Sunday, that the Ascension of the Jesus to the Father, that we meditate upon it when we pray the glorious mysteries of the Rosary. And we heard this beautiful imagery both in the Gospel and in the first reading. How they saw Jesus taken up. He was lifted up into heaven. You know, we don't really have the proper words to describe the spiritual realities, so we do the best we can with the words that we have. And so while it's not completely wrong to think about a vertical ascension, like he went from one plane to the next plane, like one floor of the elevator to went to the next floor of the elevator, I guess it's a good imagery, but it's not the exact truth. There's not a place, a higher level he went to. But in his ancient mind, that's how they had depicted the universe, the cosmos. That there were three levels to heaven. The first heaven that we saw is what we see every day, whether it's a cloudy sky or a blue sky. The sky we see during the daytime is the first heaven. And then at night, when the sun goes down, we can see deeper into the reality. We see all the stars. That's the second heaven. And then the third heaven is where God lives, up above it all. So that's why he was brought up in the clouds, to that third heaven, we can say, joining once again our Heavenly Father. And that imagery of the cloud is so important for us as well, because as good students of the Old Testament, we know how often the cloud was present. Every time God was present, the cloud was there, the great overshadowing of the people. And then at the Annunciation, the great overshadowing of our Blessed Mother. It's the same notion of this cloud, that the presence of God is there. And so Jesus is taken up into the presence of God. You know, at the beginning of creation, man was created for communion with God, created to be with him forever. And then we know the story, what happened in the Garden of Eden and the forbidden fruit, and then the separation that took place. That no longer was their communion. And they had, you know, covenants and sacrificial systems and temple offerings in the Old Testament, but none of that was sufficient. And all of that was in preparation for Jesus. Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, God himself, the very Word of God, became flesh. And when he took on flesh, he began this reconciliation. The splitting, the loss of communion that took place in the garden was to be reconciled through Jesus to the Father. And not in just some spiritual kind of imagery, but reality. And why this feast today is so important. Because the bodily ascension of Jesus gives us hope for the bodily resurrection at the end of time. That at the moment of our death, God willing, our souls are united to God, the Father in heaven. There is no other choice, but we hope to be in heaven. Our souls, at the end of time, our bodies and souls are reunited. And the reason we can believe that, the reason we can have hope in that, is because of the feast that we celebrate today. That Jesus took humanity to heaven. And as we prayed in the opening prayer, where the head has gone, the body is sure to follow. This is the hope that we have as Christians, as Catholics, as disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ. We live with this hope that this world is not all that there is, that this world is passing away, and that one day, God willing, our bodies and souls will be with our Heavenly Father in eternity. This is the hope that St. Paul prays for, that your eyes of your heart may be enlightened, that you know what is the hope that belongs to his call. This hope, this belief in the promises of Jesus. He tells us in John, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And I'm going to come back and bring you. I'm going so that the Advocate, I'm going so the Holy Spirit can come. All of these promises of Jesus, this day anchors them into reality. You know, it's good that we as a church are able to come back together and pray and unite ourselves physically. The sacrifice of the Mass has been going on the entire time. 2 or 3 times a day we've been celebrating Mass. And that was the efficacy of our salvation. But it's good for us. You know, there's lots of people out there saying that, you know, we are church and the church never closed, that go be church out in the world. That's true. But the church has been fighting the Gnostic heresy, Gnosticism, which means the fleshy, the physical doesn't really matter. All that matters is the spiritual. It matters that we're able to gather together as the body of Christ. This is necessary. And so we don't need to believe the lies that this is not, that we can be church out in the world. Yes, we must serve the poor and take care of our neighbors. We must do all that, take care of the immigrants, fight abortion, fair tax policy, all those things that we do as disciples. But all of that passes away. And the body of Christ is one, united to the head on our way to heaven. And so when we gather as the body of Christ around the altar, this is a foretaste of heaven. And so we begin to live this ascension every time we come together. And so this is why religious services are essential. Because this is the most essential thing that we could do. And so we praise God that we're able to gather around the altar once again. Because we're able to enact, to live out the hope of the call that is within us. How many of us have lost hope over the last couple of months? How many of us have given in to despair, to anger, frustration, of fear, choking out the life that Christ has given us through our baptism? How many of us really have given up? How many of us have lost sight of the hope of the call that is within us? This feast today, this great solemnity, should awaken within us once again this desire for heaven, to be hungry, desirous to be with the Father in heaven. We're all going to die. From this virus, from a car wreck, from natural causes, who knows? We're all going to die. And what if we spend as much energy fighting for heaven as we're fighting the virus? I'm not saying to be foolish with our lives and just let things happen. We have a responsibility for the common good, for our own good, to take care of ourselves and to be prudent. But it can't steal our hope. We can't live in fear. Why? Because where the head is gone, the body is sure to follow. If we live in the state of grace, if we die in the state of grace, we're going to heaven. And nothing else matters. And we all will be, once again, around the altar, celebrating the sacrifice. That this foretaste will come true for all of us. This is what we celebrate today. And this should be the reality in which we live every day. mean, St. Paul will say elsewhere in his letters. Basically, he says, if you kill me, I'm going to heaven. If you let me live, I'm going to convert more Christians. I win either way. And this is the great commission that Jesus gives his apostles as he's leaving. This end of Matthew's gospel. The great commission. He says, all authority in heaven and earth have been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them all that I've taught you. This completeness, the fullness that Christ has given to his one holy Catholic Church. And then those men were given the commission to spread this one church throughout the world. And this is the hope that we can go and live an eternal perspective in the world and share the hope with everyone. This is what he's talking about. Go make disciples of all nations. It's really, the verb in the Greek is disciple. It's not go make disciples, it's really go disciple. We don't really speak that way, so they made it easy for us to understand. But we're not, the disciple is not the noun, it's the verb. It's an action. That we share our life with other people, teaching them what it means to live in the hope of heaven. And that we, like Jesus says, follow me, and with our lives, with our actions, with our words, we invite other people into our life because we're all going to heaven. This is the most important thing we could ever do. And each one of us in our baptism has been given a share in this commission to go make disciples of all nations. Do we live with this expectant hope that one day when we die, we will go to heaven? Do we live with the awareness of an eternal perspective that I'm made for heaven and that everything that I do should get me there because Jesus is there and I'm one with him and I want to stay united with him forever? This is a beautiful, hope-filled day for us. And so many of us, myself included, have easily gotten off track these last few months, last few weeks. So this is a good reset for us. That yes, we're prudent in our actions. We're obedient when Mother Church asks us to wear masks and to keep distance. Because all this is passing. Heaven is eternal. It will never fade away. And so we will do whatever it takes to get there. You know, sometimes, like I said at the beginning, we have this vertical kind of imagery, like an elevator, an escalator, that Jesus was taken up into heaven. We can kind of use that imagery. There is some truth to that. Because when I get on the elevator, I'm on level 1, and I press level 2, my head gets there before my body. It's very basic, very simple imagery. But this is the reality. If I'm in Christ, if I'm living a life of grace, living a life of virtue, I'm with Christ. And so he's already gone up. So I'm going up with him. And so again, from St. Paul, brothers and sisters, may the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation resulting in knowledge of him. May the eyes of your hearts be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope that belongs to his call. This is my prayer for each one of us. That the eyes of our hearts be enlightened. That we're not discouraged by the nonsense we face every day in the world. That through a spirit of wisdom and revelation, we come to a deep knowledge of our Heavenly Father. So that we can live in the hope that belongs to his call. Let's pray for that grace to live in that hope. Amen.